Hello, Dr. Tori Robeson here, chiropractic practice success consultant, where I teach you how to go farther than you ever thought you could. You're listening to the Chiro Success Podcast. Welcome, winners. We've got a special guest today. As you know, I do a lot of the podcasting myself. We've done some case studies with other chiropractors around the country. We've got something outside that today. It's very important to learn from people outside your profession, high performers, people who've taken the risk and done well and worked really, really hard. And that's what we're going to have today. We've got a person here that I met through the Florida Power Book Club. The Florida Power Book Club is full of very successful and very interesting people from all over the place. So I become friends with this gentleman, and I said, hey, why don't you jump on a podcast with me, see if we can talk about success and about lifestyle and about winning. And of course, he loved the idea, and so now here we are. So I will just jump right into this. We'll let him introduce himself, and we'll see where our conversation goes. We hope you'll learn a little bit here from this most interesting podcast outside the chiropractic profession.
I have an event tomorrow in Zurich. There's a big exhibition, and they invited me as a keynote speaker. I speak about mental health, well-being, all that kind of stuff there.
Right, that's what we're all about. So I'm just going to kind of jump right in here and just, I'm just going to welcome everybody. And we've got a very unique person here today. And it's fun to have a chance to visit with people that are maybe outside your own profession and see what you can learn. And so I'm not going to do any of the giving away. We're just going to let him do most of the talking. So I'm just going to say this. Who are you? What is your name? And by the way, where are you in the world today?
Okay. Thanks, Tori. I'm here in Germany in our headquarter. Our headquarter in Germany is south of the Black Forest, directly on the Swiss border. So a little bit south of Stuttgart, basically, a little bit north of Zurich. That's where we are in the moment here.
Mm-hmm. And what's your name?
Oh, exactly. My name is Frank Schielen here from Germany. Schielen is a German name, but there are some of my guys in the States, but I have SCH and they have just SH.
Yes, yes. Because I had a friend whose last name was Schielen, but it was SH.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. They belong to us here, though.
They're descendants. They came from the
exactly.
Homeland.
They have been running away here from Germany. but they are not too many people.
Well, I wore my appropriate shirt for you. Okay.
Oh.
Hold on.
Live fast. Oh.
Live fast, die last.
I like that.
Oh. Okay, so can you describe what do you do, what are you involved in, and just take a couple minutes and describe that to us.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm in the consulting business since over 30 years. Yeah, we are just having our anniversary, 20 years anniversary of our AG company. That's the bigger company. So what we are doing is management diagnostic. I think that's similar what you do when you work with people. I think the first thing is to analyze, diagnose the situation, the problem. And from there on, you go forward. So we are a market leader in Europe about management diagnostic, measuring competencies, behavior, emotional intelligence, and our newest thing, where I have a speech tomorrow, is mental health well-being, what is a huge thing, especially more and more younger people moving into that challenge, I would say. Yeah? Yes. Training, development, delivery. And on the other side, we have the consulting part, where we are working medium-sized company, but also the big, big automotive companies here in Europe.
Oh,
we work together with them and looking for the leadership thing, what means leadership in the future. You have the challenges with the new generations and all that that kind of things. Originally, I was coming from a technical background. I was in a huge company in Switzerland, and I was quite young there. And then they moved me into controlling, bookkeeping, something like that. So that was a nightmare for me. So, of course, there was three people. The only thing they have been talking to me was good morning. Then they disappeared in their own room and I was alone. So I realized that's not what I want to have. And then I went to the management school in Zurich. And from there, I formed the company with my teacher. The teacher was 1 year younger than I am, and I was quite young. I was in the end of the 20s. So that's the way the whole thing started.
Yeah.
And now we have 6 companies, 50 people, 2,000 distributors, partners in Europe. Okay. They're working with our concept.
So if you were going to say the 6 companies, what do the 6 companies do?
Mm-hmm. So we have different
companies. We got the consulting, mm-hmm. and what else?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have the 6 companies. We have the biggest market is Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Italy, and then we have a company also in the States. Mm-hmm. They do basically all the same things, what we are doing, the whole services. But we have 2 companies. One company, that's our diagnostic company. They are just doing online assessment. That business. Mm-hmm. And the other company, that's Relief, we call it. That's our mental health well-being company. That's where that company is focused. And we are measuring on one side. We could do coaching. We're helping companies to keep their people on a higher level, performance management, mental health on that side.
So you're primarily dealing with the CEOs and the management and the leadership of the companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can improve their the structure that they may have, mm-hmm. the performance of all the people that work for them, because they want to increase revenue, they want to be mm-hmm. managing overhead. Mm-hmm. It's all of those things, yes, that mm-hmm. that contribute to the company becoming more successful. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
that's
basically what types of companies are these companies that mm-hmm. make shoes, or you talked about the auto industry. Mm-hmm. What types of companies would you be working with? Mm-hmm.
So basically, we have 2 target groups in the company. When I'm getting in touch with companies, that's on the C-level, on the ownership, the founder of the company. And with them, I'm working on a new vision, mission, strategy, things, the bigger thing. My team here, they are working quite often with the HR people, with the training department.
Yes.
That's more on the delivery side. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
So from my side, I know many of this kind of people from, I'm a senator here in Europe. I'm in the
can
official
you define, team. Can you define what a senator is in Europe? Because a mm-hmm. senator here meets something elected official for the state that's in Washington, D.C.
I know.
What does senator mean over there so we can all understand?
It's a little bit different. I realized that my neighbor in Florida, I gave him my business card. Yeah, on one side is my business. On the other side...
And I was thinking, oh my gosh, you're going to be the dictator of Germany or something, you know, or the president of a country or something.
No, the Germans are nice. No, I gave him my card, and as a senator, so he is now always looking about my house. He's taking the waste out for the house and everything. So he's very motivated with me. Yeah. It was a joke. So the senator in Europe, it is not in the White House, yeah, but the idea behind it, and that's where the Senate originally was coming from, the Roman Empire. So that's somebody who is giving advices to the president, to the political department. So we are between the organization, the companies, what is really going on outside. Mm-hmm. We are working on white paper and things like that. And we are presenting this information to the government. We are just between that. So it's kind of advisory board. That's people that have a lot of experience in their field. Yeah. And then they are preparing some subjects and things like that.
So that's very interesting. So then mm-hmm. back to the types of companies you would be working with and what they're manufacturing or what they're selling.
Oh, but basically, our key focus is people. And with the people business, of course, it's not making a difference if it is automotive, an insurance, a bank.
Okay.
Or in Germany, we have a lot of automotive, how do you call it? They're making parts for the big automotive company.
Yes, exactly.
That's a huge business.
The subcontractors, we might call them.
Yeah, exactly. And they are big companies. Yeah, they are having, let's say, from 500 to 10,000 people. They are just doing parts for the automotive business. And that's quite a lot of organizations I'm working with.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And of course, we have the big challenge getting new people on board, the market for potential people, employees is very dry. So that's a big thing, finding new people, recruiting business. That's where we are connected with it. Yeah. And of course, for us, it's very important to train also the leaders in the company. I'm not leaving the company. I'm very often leaving my manager, or I stay for the manager. Yeah? Mm. So the leadership thing has in the situation in the moment where it's very hard to get new people on board and finding new people. So leadership is something what is extremely important. And that's where I have done 13 books myself and things like that. I have done a lot of articles, white papers, and things like that. Sure. That's where I connect with this kind of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got only the management and the founders and the leadership of the company, but you're talking about the difficulty and the challenges those companies have bringing in good employees, skilled people, keep getting them to stay, having the incentive and having the way they get paid so they can really have high productivity for those companies. Mm-hmm. Always an ongoing challenge. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you kind of a unique question here, and it may be hard to answer, but what does it cost to hire your company? Like, how do you have fees and how do you charge a company who wants your help?
Mm-hmm. Of course, I cannot compete with you. So I'm very cheap compared to you.
I realize that I know you aspire, okay?
No, it
actually,
depends.
It's the other way around, but okay.
When I do keynotes, things like that, that's more my job. They pay $10,000 for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, half day program.
Sure.
We have different things. Keynote is one thing that's more on big audiences. And then workshops is more with the executive team. So it depends.
I see.
In that direction.
Yeah.
But our core business is that our consultants are going into company and then they run a whole training workshop program.
Yeah.
We are working on the strategy of the company, helping them position them in the right way, get the right people on board. And also what is very important for us, we train their leadership, their executives in the right direction. So that's the big package where
we're sure. So you have the company and they're going to be paying a fee that's ongoing for your help.
Absolutely.
And then you have other fees for all these other different things that you can provide. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, what is our interesting business concept? We are having software license when we talk about the assessment business. It's online assessment. So we have clients that are buying 20,000 online licenses and things like that. So that's an interesting business that you can scale up. When I'm with you on the boat in Florida, so that's the business what is still going. That's, of course, an interesting
Because the
thing.
Computer can handle as many people as you want because you've got online forms gathering the information and doing all of that.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. You know, let me ask you this. Were you born in Germany?
Yes.
Okay, and you went to school there. Did you go to we talked a little bit about your education. Your whole family's from Germany?
Yes, Germany, Switzerland. That's the main area.
Okay,
my father's living in Switzerland, but everything is very close here, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Switzerland, in 2 hours, you are from north to south, in 3 hours, from east to west. It's a little bit different story than the States.
Yeah.
Sure.
and I think we already talked about this, but just for everybody here, how many different languages can you navigate?
Yeah, it's German. Then I have Swiss German, of course, what is a kind of different language, English, things like that. But in Switzerland, most of the people, for them, it's normally also in the school, it is German, it is French, of course. Mm. There's a French part in Switzerland. Mm. Then there's an Italian part in Switzerland. Mm. Switzerland is not big, but they have 3+1 language in the center. They have a kind of dialect. If they speak it, I don't understand them. So, and everybody
in
Switzerland.
They're an hour away.
sure. it's crazy. I had some friends in my sports car. And we, in 1.5 hours, we have been driving through 3 different countries.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible.
Germany, Switzerland, Austria. And then going south, 2 hours later, we have been in Italy.
My goodness. I'm going to ask a couple questions about cars. We'll get to the fun stuff in a minute, right? But to let everybody know, he and I were visiting. We happened to be down in the Keys in South Florida. Mm-hmm. And I asked Frank here, what's the fastest he's ever gone in a car? And I believe you gave me like 360 km. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, you know, English miles per hour, please. It goes like 240 miles an hour. And I went, whoa. And Frank goes, is that fast? And I went, yeah, that's fast. 240,
oh, really?
140 is fast, let alone 200 miles an hour in a car. Yeah, that's fast. Oh my gosh. You know, Frank, let me ask you this. What motivates you? What are you going after? What are you trying to achieve? You know, you're excited about your work and excited about being great. So what drives you? Were you a poor kid and now you wanted to be successful, or did someone say something and it's, I'm going to show you, or do you just, you know, what is it that gets you to have the drive to do what you do?
Mm-hmm. So my personal motto is work hard, play hard. Or once I got introduced in the States, I say work hard and even play harder. Mm. So it's a combination of both. Generally speaking, I was growing up, I was born in a very solid family, I would say, very simple, with good values and things like that. And for me, it was clear at this time, if I want to change something, I have to change it myself. I have to take the responsibility, things like that. So I went to school, then I was going more in a technical direction, then I was going more on a MBA economical direction in Switzerland. And then I was deciding going more on my own as an entrepreneur. And I don't know if you know Brian Tracy. Brian, he was one of my coaches. I was working in the 90s, extremely, extremely close together with him. Wow. It was so funny. He has developed these training systems, and we have been looking for something. Yeah? And my English was even worse than now. So I called I called Brian. Hello, Brian. This is Frank from Germany. He said, who? He said, yeah, I'm from Germany, and I'm interested about your programs, and I want to bring it over to Europe here. Yeah, okay. By the way, I have a conference in Maui next week. If you're available, just come over. Yeah? So he just thought, let this stranger go away. Yeah. So 1 week later, I was in Maui. I said, hey, Brian, this is Frank from Germany, and he thought I'm a little bit crazy. So he decided working with me.
Wow.
And I did 10 books with him. We have been doing a lot of speeches and programs and things like that. And of course, many of the things I trained, what was the maximum achievement program from him, taking care about your life, being taking the responsibility, how to deal with negative emotions or how to set goals, things like that.
Yeah.
So that's a part of what is kind of normal behavior. What I installed in my own life.
Brian Tracy, he's a legend, and he's so smart. Mm-hmm. His observations are so good. How gentle he is, and how he communicates accurately with people. His word choices.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
absolutely.
That is really impressive. I'm so glad you shared that with us. Okay, so you still had some the information, but there's something inside you that makes you want to have more and go faster and be successful. And it's hard to define because it's just probably the way you've always been, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and motor sport, where I'm very active in car racing, racing for Ferrari, and the entrepreneur business side, they're similar things. I started on my own, and I was leaving my good, safe place in Switzerland with a good salary. Mm-hmm. Everybody was saying, I'm crazy. And by the way, you will never make it. And and of course, this is a very strong motivation. If somebody tells me, forget it, you will not make it, from there on, I give 200%. And I always was prepared to give going the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if you are having your own company and going through all the changes, there are a lot of crazy things around. You're dealing with people, and then they take over some other people from you, and also the crazy stuff. So I was always able, whatever is coming, I was able to solve the problem myself, going the extra mile, even work harder to solve that problem.
Mm.
And in racing, when I started with racing, I started very late in racing. So it's the same thing, learning from the best. So I had one of the best coaches in the world on racing. And that's like I worked with Brian Tracy together on the other side. And learning from the best, and I think the cheapest mistakes is always using the experience from others.
The
experience, the mistakes you do yourself, these are the most expensive one. Yeah, if you can make a shortcut learning from others, that's one of my personal strategies. And that's the way I got into racing. Before I have to do all my mistakes myself, I had one of the best coaches. We are working with telemetry. That means that all the data from the car, like an airplane, in a black box is there. And then he drives the car, I drive the car. Then we look where we are similar. Then diving into the information and finding out what is he doing differently. Wow. And that's exactly the same thing in business. Huh?
Yeah. See how smart it is to have excellent coaching, because it saves you time. It's the most efficient way.
Absolutely.
Because like Frank is teaching us, you can't go out and make all the mistakes yourself when you can pay to learn and you can accelerate that whole process. Okay. I got four interesting questions for you here, and then we're going to get to the fun stuff like cars and boats and things like that for a few minutes.
Really?
And we'll wrap this up. But this is an interesting one, but In the work that we do, we kind of orbit around four things. We say that life can be categorized into four different areas: love and relationships, health and fitness, career, and money. Love, health, career, money. Pretty much everything can fit in those four. So
absolutely.
What is some of your best love and relationship advice?
I don't know if this is a good question. I'm just in the divorce in the divorce situation, but I have to tell you, I was together with my wife for 30 years, and we have been working together. We have been living together. So I think one of the most important thing is in a relationship that everybody can be focused on their own part, on their own life, on their own talents and things like that. So I was good on one side, she was good on another side, and we respected the whole thing. In my opinion, respect is the most important thing at all. Yeah? Mm-hmm. If the respect is going away, then the relationship is falling apart. Yeah. So that was working very well, very good for many, many, many years there.
So a point would be, especially for younger people, be very cautious and be very smart about who you choose for a mate or for who you choose to marry. Obviously, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And most of the time when I was young, you are looking for somebody who is similar or the same personality like you. So my learning was what is better for a long time is finding somebody who has strengths on the opposite side than I have. I'm from the personality, I'm a little bit more outgoing, things like that. My job is going in the same direction. So that means when I'm coming back home, I don't want to have the similar thing, outgoing, talking and things like that.
Right.
Exactly. I want to have the opposite side. And that gives me the energy to come back and things like that and being prepared. So that would be my advice. Respect is one thing. Finding somebody who is filling up the parts, what is not strong on your side, and helping you growing together. I think that would be
my
experience.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just trying to look for someone that likes the same things I like, wants to do the same things I want to do. Mm-hmm. But no, because then you kind of got another version of yourself versus someone that's unique and different that complements you, right? That complements you.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's only one thing, the values. The values have to be the same. The personality, all the other things have to be compromised completed. But I think you have to have the same values. Yeah? Yes. If you have not the same values, you're always discussing. There's a lot of power against it. Yeah? Yeah. Having the same values, but adding up with the other personality to your life, that helps you getting to a bigger level, I would say.
That's fantastic. Okay, next one. Do you have any health or fitness advice that you think is valuable for us?
Oh, I would come up with your name immediately. I mean, I have seen you in Miami and say, hey, this guy, he knows what he's doing. He has a lot of energy and things like that. Energy is very, very important for me.
Yes, energy. So what do you do to have high energy? Say you're heading out into a race and have competition and you got to be prepared for the day. Uh-huh. What might you do?
I think it's a mental thing, and that's the reason I worked out on a mental program against stress and things like that. So one thing is work hard, play hard. You have to have time. And for me, a private appointment or being on a holiday or something like this has the same value than a business appointment. Huh?
Mm.
So I think that's important for me. Most of the people are just working, and they don't take time for themselves, for personality for personal development, for friends and relationship and things like that. And that has a combination, I would say. And then, of course, you have to do some sport. Sport is for me two things. I'm going into the gym. On the other side, I like bicycle riding. Mm-hmm. So from the bicycle thing, especially here in the Black Forest, of course, it's a perfect thing to get the energy, the power and things like that. That's what I need for my job. And of course, I'm doing my job racing and having an appointment. In between, I'm doing a speech and things like that.
Yeah.
So even if I take younger people with me, they need a three-day holiday after being on the way for 2 days with them. So I don't understand that. that's a combination, I think.
Listen to what he taught us there. If we're going to put a lot of our energy and importance with our work, we can put the same energy importance into our play and into our fun and into our breaks so we can really have those be maximized. And that will then actually help you even more with your work. So he's saying here so often, our work is so serious and then the weekend or the vacation is just like, no, we want to maximize these. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Florida Powerboat Club has done for me. It's put me in a situation where I have an intensity and a seriousness to what I'm doing when I'm playing that's now complementing my work. And it's really been exciting. How did you come to know about the Florida Powerboat Club, by the way?
Oh, I always liked fast cars and things like that, and I liked boats. But in Germany, boating is boring. They only have lakes and slow boats, nothing for me. So when I came back from Brian Tracy from the conference, I had a stopover in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I was getting out of the plane. I saw these million boats there and things like that. I say, wow, that's my goal.
Yeah.
So 5 years later, I moved into Florida, and I have since 20 years, I have second home in Florida.
Yeah.
So the first thing before I had a home was a boat. So first I bought a boat and was looking, renting something. And now I have I have a Sunseeker, what is for day cruising, for going out with friends. And then the other side, like you, a cigarette boat, a high performance boat.
Yeah.
I love it. It's amazing. Yeah. And nice weather. And you don't need big jackets and things like that in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's and the Florida Powerboat Club is a fantastic organization. Oh,
it is. It's probably the premier organization in the world for organized boating events with super high performance stuff.
Absolutely.
Where do you keep your boats? I'm not sure if I asked you that.
Oh, I have a second home in Naples, and I keep my boats in Fort Myers. When I'm not there, it's in dry storage. Now, in the moment, it is just in the harbor.
I see.
I'm flying over in the next few days.
So the boat will be ready for you when you get there.
Oh yeah, always.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on the Gulf of Mexico for boating. That's the water is always calm.
Oh.
You have a lot of islands and beaches and things like that. So I hope we can meet us there once.
Oh yeah, I'd love to do that. So you see here, people. A lot of people have a boat in the driveway and they go out boating. Some people might have a boat at a local lake, but sort of in this world, he's in Germany and the boats are in Florida. So he goes to Florida to his other home and goes boating and has two different boats, a cruiser, more luxury boat, and then he has a super high performance catamaran, a Nortec 36 Supercat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so it's a more of a global life, kind of like myself here, and my boat is in Florida, my boating life is Florida, and my second house is in Florida. We could get sidetracked on that, but let me get back to this. I know it'll be hard for you, but just try to do this in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Your best career advice for a man or a woman?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From my side, that's what I learned when I was in my first job. I think the most important thing is you have to love what you are doing. So that's the most important thing. If you go into your business and for me, it is Is it giving you energy or it's taking energy? Yeah? And if you do something what you really love, what you like, it's not working. It's like a hobby. Yeah? For me, the same thing. Sometimes I have to drive 500 miles after a speech or something. That's not work for me. I love it. I think that's the most important thing. I'm working on a university in Munich, working with students, and most of them, they have no clue what they are going. They have no clue what are their talents, things like that. I think one of the most important things is, and that's what we are helping company, getting the right people with the right job together, yes. Finding out what is your talent,
yes.
What is your passion. Yeah. So that's the one of the most important things. And that would be my advice. Find that out. And be willing to go the extra mile. That's the most important thing. A lot of people, they have talents and things like that, but they're not willing to go the extra mile. And I'm going the extra mile.
Oh, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. And to get to the higher levels of success and have a lifestyle like you have, mm-hmm. you're going to have to go the extra mile. And to go the extra mile, it's got to give you the energy to do it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love every bit of that. Okay, you ready? Money advice, handling money, saving money, growing money, making money. What is money? Just anything that comes up. I've said, hey, mm-hmm. you know, Frank, please give me some money advice.
I think one thing is that you love what you are doing, mm-hmm. but there are many things you can do every day. Yeah? So I'm going the extra mile and I'm willing to do the things what is important. Most of the people, they have a good idea, but they have no marketing strategy. They don't know what is the USP. What is your unique selling proposition? Mm-hmm. If you don't know what is the unique selling proposition, what is the uniqueness of what you offer, then it's very hard to bring that over to the clients. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. And my expertise is always solving problems from your clients. And if they have big problems and you can solve that big problems, that's yes. good for you.
Yeah.
And of course, my time is money, of course.
Yes, exactly.
That's the important thing. But in my opinion, I think the most important thing, if I talk with some trainers, coaches, or entrepreneurs, most of them, they cannot tell you in 3 words, what are you doing? What is your USP? What is the elevator speech? Very simple.
Yeah.
Going up the elevator, and the German elevators, they are not going so high like in New York. So you have to be fast.
Yeah, that's right.
To explain the other guys, what is your USP? What is your real thing? What makes a difference compared to all others? That's one of the most important things. And if you find that and you can solve problems faster than other ones, that's what brings you to the money.
And that starts to generate income. Now,
absolutely.
Now the money is in your pocket. Mm-hmm. It's in your personal world. Mm-hmm. Are you into automatic investing? See, here in the United States, people might get some real estate, or of course they can mm-hmm. invest in companies in the stock market. But as far as holding on to money, should you pay off your house first before you invest? Just some general money handling mm-hmm. tips that you've found to be valuable for you since you've earned a significant income. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I started my business and when I was going to bank and I was like, I have a consulting idea and training from America. Please give me money. They've been laughing about me, of course. They gave me nothing. So my strategy was always, okay, first I have to make money before I can invest money. Yeah. And still, we now with my organization, I'm still growing in the organization. So I'm investing in my own companies and my own organization and things like that. This is one thing. But of course, there are some real estate opportunities. You have to invest in things what makes sense and things like that. My advice would be always, if you invest in some directions, it has to be something where you know the business. There are many people coming to me and say, hey, I have a new idea. In Germany, the drugs, they are now legalized and things like that. I'm investing in this. My strategy from the beginning, I left on the right, on the left side, I left many things going. I say, okay, I invest in directions, in businesses where I have an idea, where I know what the business is. And that's where I understand it. And that's where my focus was, and I was going very well in that direction. Many people, they invest there and have an idea. And always when, that's my learning, when you start a new business, let's say my last new business was mental health, stress management and things like this. If you start in a new field, there are always coming challenges. And if you don't know that business and things like that, you are losing very fast your interest, your things, and the money is going away. So my strategy is always, of course, doing the business opportunities and growing and cross-selling, things like that. But the general direction is the same. And that's my learning curve over the 30 years.
Is it to save?
What's that?
The general direction is to save?
Yeah. That means not staying on one path. Take a look on the right and on the left side. Don't go crazy thing and yes, investing there and things like that. So I always want to understand where I spend my money, where I'm investing my money. Yeah. It was my general rule. And I was going quite well in that direction.
Yeah. Well, that comes right from an old book from early 1910, 1912, The Richest Man in Babylon. We do not get jewel advice from a camel trader.
Exactly.
Go with what you know and what you can understand. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can understand Coca-Cola. So if I buy stock in the Coca-Cola company, I can understand what they do. Okay, they make Coca-Cola and Dasani and orange juice and they sell it all over the world. I can understand that. But one thing he shared with us is that you invest in your business, you invest to make it bigger and stronger and more powerful because then the value of the business grows and that creates wealth. Yes, Frank?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Of course. The learning curve for me, or the most important thing, is how much time you spend in your company or on your company. When I started at the first 10 years, I was running around in Germany. I had over 200 speeches, seminars, and things like that. And in the night, I was driving. But then I realized that I'm the Nettlebock, or how do you call it? The bottleneck sorry, of my own company. I was working in my company and I had no time to open up my eyes thinking over the whole thing. And when you change the thinking that you work more on your company, that's the way where I start to leverage the organization. And I had one company at that point, and then I decide, okay, I open up different companies with different structures, with different people. I added a management team in it, and that was basically the basic for the growing for the next decades, basically.
I love that. That's so great. How do taxes work in Germany as far as how much money do you have to give to the government?
Just out Texas. Of curiosity. Paying taxes in Germany in one sentence, it's a nightmare. Okay. We are paying the most taxes in the world.
Yeah.
So that's horrible. Switzerland is around the corner, but Switzerland is very expensive, but the tax is very low.
Wow.
So, of course, it has also to do if you are investing. I'm still investing new technologies. I'm still investing in a new relationship, business relationship. Mm-hmm. About new businesses. We are just working on a mental health app version. Yeah. So these are all things where you scale up your business. I think the most important thing is for me, I think you are doing this excellent too, Dory, finding way where you can scale up your time. If you get paid just for the time you are working, you are limited. But if you have possibilities with digital solutions, AI and things like that, I think there are nice possibilities. Far, I'm always investing in the company so that I don't pay too much money. And then I need a lot of money for gasoline. So
you see, your people, what's happening is if he just takes income, he's going to have to pay a lot in tax. But if you put the money and continue to grow the business and build the value of the business, you're able to build wealth that way. And then you can have opportunities down the road, right, Frank, to sell the company or do different things like that.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All the investments are costs on the first time, but it helps you to get up something bigger. Yeah? That's the idea behind it.
Oh, wow. All the investments at first are a cost, but then they can start to generate a return.
Absolutely.
And you have to be willing to have the courage to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that's what, if he's talking about racing Ferraris and high performance boating, see, that means he's willing to take some risk. And that's important in business too. Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are afraid to take the risk. And so they remain, they remain stuck.
Yeah, I think the risk on a German Autobahn driving 360 kilometers is higher than be on a racetrack, be honestly. Yeah? But but it's always the same thing. You have to know what you are doing. Uh-huh. And on racing, you have to know what you're doing. When we are on the boats and on an event with 100 other boats and things like that, you have to know what you're doing. In business, it is the same thing. Yeah. So that's important to get an idea, and you are professional. And that's the same thing, having professional coaches that, that help you growing faster and getting a better expert than before.
Oh, wow. Okay, a couple fun things here. How many houses do you have?
I just lost one house to my ex-wife.
Okay.
There's one less. But I have a nice place here in Germany. I had a nice place in Austria, in the Alps, a chalet, what was a dream. And then I have my house in Florida.
Yeah.
So that's enough.
Okay, that's enough. Yeah, because you got the Alps for that. And then you got Florida where they got the palm trees and the sand.
Exactly.
You don't need any more than that, right? Okay. How many cars do you have?
I have to start counting.
And so, you better tell us what they are, please.
Of course, I'm doing racing for Ferrari. So I have a GT3 a race car. It's a 458 GT3 race car. It's an aerodynamic race car. It's one
is that a Porsche?
Sorry, what? I just giving my Porsche back next week. So I have the Ferrari race car, but then you have to have a Ferrari street car, of course. That's no question. I have the 488 Spider. What is a nice car? Then I have the Lamborghini, the Aventador. Mm-hmm. That's a cool car. Yeah? Yeah. I'm just getting next month the Lamborghini, the Urus. That's my new company car. So the Porsche is going back. So and my craziest car on the street, it's a McLaren LT765. It's just in the museum now. They invite me to bring over the winter, bring the car to the museum.
Yeah.
It has basically 1,200 kilos, 900 horsepower. This is the craziest thing I have been driving in my life. Yeah. And I can, and in Germany, we have no speed limit on the Autobahn. Yeah. And otherwise, you have to be a little bit careful.
Yeah.
But we can really drive it. In the States, it's not possible. They catch you after the 5 minutes. Here, it's a little bit more electric. Don't do that in Switzerland. You are in jail. But in Germany, it's still possible. Yeah.
So the Autobahn in Germany, all over the whole country of Germany, there are certain highways that have an Autobahn. So it's not just one 5 mile long road. The Autobahn is lots of places in Germany if the highway can handle it. Mm-hmm.
That's basically like an interstate in America. Yeah? Yeah. So we have in all cities, we have the Autobahns, things like that. Uh-huh. Generally speaking, we have no speed limit. But of course, they have a lot of parts where they have a speed limit, where you have to reduce the speed and things like that. But generally speaking, it's open. So there's no limit if you can do it. You need a car to go up to 300, of course.
Yeah. It's understood that the slow cars don't get in the fast lane, right?
Generally speaking, there are a few guys you have to educate still.
but it's not
allowed to pass them on the right side. In the States, it is allowed you pass them on the right side. In Germany, it's not allowed. So you have to give them other signals that they understand you are a little bit faster. The people, if you have the right car, they see you in the mirror.
Yeah.
So when I'm coming, they're moving away.
I see. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Now, by the way, we'll just do a couple more things here. We'll wrap it up. How, as you were cruising along, how did you get involved in motorsports and start becoming involved in racing?
Mm-hmm. I always liked speed. When I was very young, I was the guy with the fastest bicycle with my colleagues. When I got my driver license, immediately, my first car was a Volkswagen Scirocco with 75 horsepower. I thought that's like flying, something like that. But I learned there's more room up there. I always liked special cars and things like that. I think I am a little bit, how do you call it, petrol head?
Yeah, something like that.
I have this for, I got this from my father, I guess. Yeah, he was also in that that direction. And then I was buying my first sport car, was what was a little bit more sporty. And of course, my dream was always a Ferrari, but that was so far away. But I got to a certain level, I was like, okay, there was an opportunity going up that I could buy a used Ferrari. And that's the way I started in that, that business. But then the problem starts. You take a Ferrari or a sports car and you try to go on a racetrack. But then you learn driving on a racetrack is different than driving on the street. So I had a Ferrari and the guys have been passing me. So I didn't like that. So I started immediately with some racing lessons and I signed up a racing school. Yeah. And that's the way then I bought, then I was working on my street car with other tires and things like that. But then I learned, forget it, you need a race car for the racetrack. Yeah. So I bought my first race car. And I was moving forward very fast with professional people and things like that. And then the big step forward was when I changed the car to the GT3 race car. And then I had an opportunity to join a race in Spa in Belgium. I had no clue where I am and things like that. And it was so funny, it was raining. And the second guy behind me was 4 seconds behind me. He didn't like that at all. So I was on the podium immediately.
Oh, good for you.
I say, wow, I think I have a clue about that thing. And that's the way I signed up with the racing series. I signed up with the Ferrari racing series. And that's what I'm doing till now. And I have sponsors. They are paying basically the costs for that. Yeah. They can bring their clients and the networking thing. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I was noticing that because, of course, they get to be listed on the vehicle and all the promotional things. And, oh, that's fantastic. That's so much fun.
And
I want everybody to go ahead.
There's one thing where I'm now. I think when you have this kind of relationship, like I met you in the States, you are professional and things like that. So I have a network of many professional people. And with the racing thing, I bring people together. So the big thing is racing. But I think the key thing why they are coming, why they do sponsorships and things like that, it's a networking platform. And that's what the real guys are loving. They're coming to our meetings. They're coming to the racetrack. They're meeting other entrepreneurs with the same mindset and things like that. And that's where they are willing to pay for sponsoring and things like that.
Sure.
So that's a big thing. And it's much easier on a racetrack learning some new CEOs and their challenges and things like that. They're inviting me after then. Whatever, try to call them or whatever.
And all of them want to get out in a high-performance car and see what it feels like, even just to ride with someone who really knows how to drive. Like, I'd like to get over there and just sit there and just, okay, what's it like to be in a car like this and then learn how to do a little bit of driving. We'll have to get that done someday. But the Powerboat Club is somewhat similar in that you have a chance to be around a certain type of a people in a unique way, even though it's not competitive and all of that like in motorsports, but it's a similar sort of environment where you get to meet very interesting people from all around the world, and it does help you build your network.
Oh, definitely. I invited to our poker run to Key West. I invited some German guys from the Ferrari Club.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're flying over, paying money to being in the boat and things like that. So it's some opportunity. What is a special, unique thing? Yeah, you cannot do that in Germany or in Europe.
Right, I have people like that too that say, Tori, can I pay you to be on your boat for one of these boat runs?
Absolutely.
And there's a way you could do that, and it could be a lot of fun. And it does offset some of the cost of doing it, even though it's not outrageous. Sure. But it is fun, isn't it, Frank, to take people that may not be able to get a boat or may not be able to be in a race car. Like I was at a boat run. We were at Playa Largo there in Key Largo. And there was a couple standing on the dock. They were looking at the boat and this and that. And they said, like, nice boat. But he had an accent. And sure enough, it was a guy and his wife that had came over from Austria for a few days.
Okay.
And they just said, wow, this is really something. These boats are amazing. We're so lucky we're here with all the boats that came in. It like made our whole trip. And I said to them, I said, what are you guys doing this afternoon? And they said, nothing. And I said, not anymore. And I said, come out here at 11 o'clock, put them on my boat. And they're back there screaming, this is the greatest day of my life.
You know? Sure.
She was getting ready to get rid of him and keep going in the boat.
Sure.
Absolutely. It is a lot of fun.
We are doing also charity events. We had a huge event in the UK, in England, with kids. They had
disabilities?
Helping. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. Helping. So we did a huge event, and I've been sitting into the car, and in May now that we have an event on the Hockenheimring, where we bring people together and they can taxi drive with me. So I have a second seat in the car. So they will never forget that in their lifetime. That's nice, getting people into the possibilities like that.
Because it can motivate them, and you just don't know.
Absolutely.
It could be that just like you saw the cool car and you said, hey, I want to do that someday. Like I saw a friend that had a fountain. It was a 29-foot fountain. And I thought, I want to have one of those. And I never thought I'd be power boating to Key West in one of these boats. But that's it's motivating for people. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Let me ask you this. Are there very many chiropractors in Germany? Do you ever see them?
Yes, but not enough. It's very, very, very hard to get an appointment. A neighbor of mine is a guy here around the corner. But even when I'm calling and saying, hey, I need an appointment or something, it's very hard that he gives me an opportunity to sneak in there. It's a huge market. It's a huge business. People are looking for it, and especially if somebody is very professional.
Yes.
And they have a waiting line like crazy. So it's a huge business. And of course, people are sitting the whole time in the office. They're sitting in the car. They're not doing the right exercises.
Yeah, sure.
And things like that.
Yeah.
Huge business.
So would you say Germany is a nice place to live? It's a safe place to live. It's got a certain beauty to it. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well,
it depends where you are. And then in the bigger cities, sometimes it's okay. But where we are living is Black Forest or close to Switzerland. Yeah. We have the nice lakes. We have the high mountains and everything. Yeah. Oh, it's a dream here.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Oh. Well, thanks so much, Frank, for taking some time with us. I can't wait to see you again back down in Florida to boat run. Are you planning on doing the big Key West one coming up here later on?
And that's the one in November. That's Key West, Miami Key West. That's the biggest one. I have joining that for 6 or 7 times. Yeah. But I think I will make it again if possible. The interesting thing, I have my birthday in November. So that's always going along. And I tell you, in Germany, November is the worst time. Mm-hmm. So there is no summer, there is no winter, there is only ugly weather. So that's the best that's the best time to escape to Florida and sitting in Key West in Sloppy Joe and having a cool beer. So fantastic. I hope I see you there.
You said Sloppy Joe, right?
Yes, sure.
Of that's course. I was just at the Sloppy Joe place the other day. Oh my gosh, that's
okay.
So funny.
Sure,
it is fun walking around there, isn't it? And Key West is not really tropical. It's kind of a quaint town that's around the harbor and all. It's a very unique town, and of course, I'm sure Frank would agree that everybody should visit it.
definitely,
every once in a while.
If you have no chance to come to Germany, you have to go to Key West.
Okay. All right. Great, Frank. We'll stay in contact over social media. I can't wait to see you again.
Thank you. Thanks, Tori. Appreciate it.
We have a lot more great stories to share, and I have a lot more to learn from someone with your experience and your worldliness. All right. Thanks, Frank. Talk soon, man. Later.
Tori, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Later.
Thank you.
Okay.
If you're a chiropractor looking to dominate in practice and in life, learn more at winnersedgeconsulting.com.